And nice and well this morning. Trust the Lord's blessed you this last week. And you'll be turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. All right, we'll go ahead and get started. Matthew chapter 4. Let's have a word of prayer. Started. Father, we sure are thankful, Lord, for the good weather. Lord, thank you, Lord, for our health and strength this morning. Thank you for a copy of the scriptures, Lord, in our hands. Thank you for the great salvation which you've provided for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, we want to say we love you, and I thank you, the Lord, that you became man, Lord, that you might identify with us. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we can be like you, and one day we will, Lord, in our bodies, hearts, and minds, be just exactly like you are. Father, help us to learn this morning to understand your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we let's go ahead and just read some scriptures, and then we'll kind of bring everything together from last week. Matthew chapter 4, if you'll notice verse 1, how it reads, it says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou shalt fall down, or wilt fall down, and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So it's what we have here, again, we're in Matthew chapter 4. Did you get it? Okay, thanks. Great. Is what we have here, again, is the temptation of Jesus Christ. And we started it last week. But if you'll notice what we just read, how that this temptation took place in three different places. Again, you're talking about a wilderness. And I often wonder when it talks about Jesus being in the wilderness, was he thinking, and what did it just kind of coincide with the fact that the children of Israel were in the wilderness wandering for 40 years? He was there for 40 days. And so in the second place we find him was the pinnacle of a temple. And again, Satan is there. And the third place, which you see, is high on a mountain. So you got three different locations where this thing took place, where Jesus was. And so, again, we kind of talked a little bit about this last week, about his temptation. In other words, that Jesus faced the same devilish wiles as Eve did in the garden. In other words, we said that the devil only tempts in three different ways. He uses many, many different situations. And every one of us, when it comes to temptation, in other words, tempted, according to our what's happening in our life, but it's in three different, it's three same temptations. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, where it talks about love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so Satan only tempts those three different ways. That's exactly how he tempted the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's how he tempted Eve. And so we see that one of those three points he's going to hit us on. And so, again, when we see this, again, now think about this, though all people are tempted differently according to their individual, in other words, weaknesses, guess what? Temptations follow patterns, okay? So, again, within our own life, and we all know our own hearts. We think we know our hearts. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But again, we know what's inside of us. We know what the thoughts that are going through our minds that we have. And so, again, the devil is going to follow those particular things. You say, well, is the devil omnipresent? No. You see, God is the only one that is omnipresent. The devil, is powerful, but he's not all-powerful. He's not omnipotent. Only God, Jesus Christ, again, is all-powerful. And we know that to be true. You say, how is that? Because that's what the Bible teaches. In other words, he's the only King of Kings. He's the only Lord of Lords. It's not some sports figure. It's not some hero out there, some music guru out there. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who's the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And again, we see this, and we know this to be true. Again, temptation. Now, get this right here. It forces us to decide this thing right here. Either we're for God or against God. When the temptation hit, we're either going to do the temptation and fall into it and be against God, or we're going to resist the temptation. And the Bible says that the devil will flee from you, James 4:4-7. And so we know this to be true. And so those things take place. But again, is what he's doing is with these temptations and the things that's going on right here, is what takes place is he's trying to separate us from God. Or, we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. But again, these temptations can separate us from what we believe right here in the Word of God. And thank the Lord that God has given us the Word of God. In other words, he's not given us visions. He's not given us dreams. He's not given us any of these things like this. He's given us a sure word of prophecy. And so we know that God in Psalms 138 verse 2, how that he has placed his word above his own name. And we know that in Philippians chapter 2, that every knee shall bow, and how that God's name is highly manifested above all things. But again, the word of God is even above the name of God. And so we know, again, this is what the word of God teaches us. And so, again, just to kind of bring you up just a little bit from last week, the Bible, we know that Jesus Christ himself did not sin. And even so, the Bible says that God in James chapter 1 verse 14 and 15, that God cannot be tempted with sin, neither tempteth he any man with sin, but we are tempted when we are drawn away with our own lust. And so, again, that's what temptations are. And so, this. we know that Jesus, you know, the Bible, we quoted the scripture. We won't do it again this week, but 1 Peter 2:22, it says, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15 that he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians 5:21, who hath made him to be sin, who knew no sin. And so we know according to the Word of God that Jesus Christ cannot sin, neither did sin, but yet he was tempted in all points like as we are. And it wasn't something that was just in his mind, because Jesus Christ himself was, even though he was 100% God, he was 100% man. And in order to become like us, he had to be tempted so that he could show us what it was like to be tempted, and how that we could, even though there's temptation that faces us, we could go and resist that temptation. And so we know that because we are born again, if you are this morning, and the Bible teaches that, because we are saved, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, we know, guess what? That we don't have to sin. We choose to sin. And so, again, you say, well, I didn't choose that. Well, according to the Bible, we did. We don't like to think that because we don't like to think about what we just did or said or was some place or something, knowing full well that that's against what God has said in His Word. And so, again, and we talked about the first temptation, which was the lust of the flesh. And again, the lust of the flesh is what he did. Again, there's only three of these temptations. The first one was the lust of the flesh. And we know that according to what we just read, that the Bible says that he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. And the only thing I know about fasting 40 days and 40 nights is to eat fast. So that's about as far as I've been as far as fasting is concerned for 40 days. But again, is what that did is it appealed to his the lust of his flesh. In other words, why don't you go ahead and make this stone? You can do that. You have the power to do that. But he was appealing to his flesh as a man because he was hungry. Just it said he was hungry. And so again, we know that. You see, Satan does not want us to live by the word or the will of God and the will of God. And so in order to do that, he tempts us with the lust of the flesh. And most of our temptations, if we're downright honest about it, appeals to the flesh. Or another one of these lusts of the eyes that we'll talk about in just a minute. In other words, and so again, that's the first temptation right there. And is what Satan wanted them to do, again, was to put our physical needs above the spiritual needs. And that's what he wanted Christ to do. You see, Christ, when he was here on earth, he was 100% man. And he only did what his Father told him to do. He only did what his the Holy Spirit led him to do. It said there in verse 1 or 2, it says how that he was led up of the Spirit. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1 to 12, how that the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness. Mark 1, 11 and 12 also spoke about. And so we see that this lust of the flesh. And again, Jesus answers him with the Word of God. And we looked at that last week in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And when Jesus, talking about the experience in the wilderness, he said, you were led up by the Lord into the wilderness and you were tempted there to see what was in your heart. That's what the verse says in Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 3. And so, again, that's what temptations are, how that Satan attacks the mind. It all begins right here. This is the battleground right here, is in the mind. And again, the Bible talks about that and addresses this as far as our mind is concerned. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, let this mind be with, in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where it talks about the thoughts that we have, and everything that is pure. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure. It says, think on these things. And there's seven of those things right there. When you get down, you count all seven of them. And he says, and so we know that it's in the mind. 1 Peter chapter, what is it, 1 or 2, over there where it says, gird up the loins of your mind. And so, in other words, be ready, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. For the, you know, and so we know that he's out there, and he wants to kill each and every one of us. He came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. And so if we were to have the abundant life and live like what Jesus did, we're going to have to think like what Jesus thought. And so in order to do that, we've got to be in the Word of God and building up our minds, our most holy minds, in this most holy book right here. And so, again, we see that it's the lust of the flesh. And again, he's talking about physical desires. You see, there's nothing wrong with eating bread. And Jesus answered him, you know, he said, if thou be the Son of God, or Satan said, command that these stones be made bread. There's not, and bread is, when it refers to bread, he's talking about food there to sustain. In other words, bread is the, you know, is that life, you know, saver, life giver. And he's talking about food itself. But Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Verse 4 talked about. And so, again, we see that it's what he's doing there is he's attacking, in other words, these physical desires. Okay? That is a physical desire. You say, is it wrong to eat bread? No. Right? In other words, if I'm hungry, is it wrong to eat bread? Yes or no? No. Okay. What about if I steal bread to eat? Is it wrong? You see, both of them, I'm going to eat bread, but the physical desire there, in other words, oh, it's okay. Just go ahead and, you know, you can take that. Nobody's seen, is going to see you do that. Well, God did. Bible says, 1 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord go throughout all the world. You know, so in other words, he knows. We used to sing a song when I was in Sunday school when I was a kid. You know, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above, you know, knoweth, you know, these things. And so, again, it's not, we're all adults here. Is it wrong? Is sex wrong? No. The Bible talks about it, Hebrews 13:5. But it's wrong to step outside the bounds of what God calls the marriage. In other words, in Hebrews chapter 13 over there where it talks about in verse 4 again. And so we see that there's nothing wrong. God placed these physical desires there. It's how you're going to do what you do. And so, again, that was what he did there. And so that was the first one. The second one, we kind of got started on it. It's called the pride of life. Look back at verse 5. It says, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written. Here Satan is going to quote Scripture. He's going to say, just like Jesus, it is written. Now watch. It is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, and it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So is what we talked about last week, we talked the second temptation, in other words, again, is Satan does not want us to trust the Lord our God. Okay? And is what he's going to attack here is the first one was personal desires. And again, but notice what it says here and how he does it. Hold your place in Matthew 4 and turn back to Psalms 91. And let's look at the scripture that Satan quoted. And we did this last week, but I'm trying to catch up and bring everything together today with all three of them. Psalms chapter 91. Notice what it says. Verse 10. Or let's look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he, you say, who's that? That's verse 9, the Most High. Okay? For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Who's the they? Who? Verse 12, who's the they? Angels. Right there. The angels. So he's talking about, they shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. All right, now back to Matthew chapter 4. So what we read right there is what Satan quoted. But he quoted and he added part to the scripture. All right, look at verse 5 again. Or verse 6, he said, and saith unto him, that's the devil, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. Now watch, lest at any time, Satan added that. You did not find that in Psalms 91. So he added to the Word of God. And so is what he's done is he quoted Scripture. And see, Satan always quotes or misquotes Scripture, and he does it every time. You say, well, how did he do that to Eve? He only gave him two-thirds, of the thing. So he lied about the other third. When you look at those scriptures over about, and then Eve added to the Word of God, he subtracted, and made it a lie. And so, again, see, God told him, he said, all you've got to do is you can have everything you want right here. I got it all for you out there. Anything your heart's desire is out there. Don't eat of this tree. One tree. But see, Eve is what she said is he said, neither shall you touch it. Jesus never said that. And so somebody said like this, and I like this quote, you may have heard it. It says, be afraid, in other words, of half-truths, because you might believe the wrong half. And so, again, this thing of, truth. But to see, is what you did, again, is Satan, is he tried to get Jesus, in other words, watch what he said. He says, cast thyself down off this pinnacle. And we talked about that last week. It was some 450 feet down. So in other words, is what he was trying to do is why don't you just do this spectacular thing here and have everybody wow you and they'll think you're the Messiah. Jesus said, thou shalt not. What did he say? He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, God and the Holy Spirit did not tell him to do something spectacular like that. He had already proved that he was the Messiah and the Son of God at the baptism. But they didn't believe him. And guess what? Even to this day, Jews don't believe that Jesus Christ, unless they're saved, that Jesus is the Messiah. He's a good man, he's a good teacher, he's this or that. Most of them, even today, I'm starting to find out, read. I get these papers and, things like that. And I was talking yesterday to someone about, that is associated with a group called Jews for Jesus. And, and how that they go out and witness and talk to them. He said, all of them is without, especially the Orthodox. There's some of them that are so Orthodox, man, it's just something out there. way out there. They're the Pharisees of yesteryear. That's what they are. In other words, they know all 614 commandments of the Old Testament and probably don't keep half of them. But here is what Satan does is he does not want us to trust the Lord our God. And he tried to get Jesus to do that. And so, again, this second, you know, this temptation right there. And so, again, he said, lest at any time. You said, what's the difference between trusting or tempting? Trusting is doing what God told us to do in the Word of God. Tempting is trying to draw us away from that, what God had told us to do. You see, the Bible, when you start talking about temptation in the Bible, you have to look at the word temptation according to the context of which it is written. You see, because you can look at the word temptation and see whether it's the devil or whether it's God doing this. Because by the context, it's like in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, it says that God tempted Abraham. Did he tempt him to do sin? No, he was trying him, is what, to see if Abraham really believed what he said he believed about God. That you're going to have the seed. I'm going to have a son. He said, do you believe that? The Bible says in Romans 4, 20 and 21, he staggered not at the promise of God, but was full of faith. And, you know, believing that what God had said, he was able also to perform. And so we see that God tries us. He wants to see. In other words, you say, what is he trying? He's trying our faith. Bible says 1 Peter 1:6 that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth it. And so again, God tests and tempts us in the sense that he wants to see if our faith is real, but Satan tempts us to see, to try to draw us away from God to sin. That's what James said, because James, we quoted it a while ago, that God tempts no man, neither is tempted by sin. And so is what he does is he throws the bait out there. In other words, he dangles that physical desire. Oh, it's okay if you do this. You know, the world's doing it. Everybody's doing it. That's okay. Well, God said, don't do it. And so Satan, he tempts us to try to get us to step over here like this and do that. Whereas God is trying you to see if you're going to trust what he said by believing what he said. And that's where the blessings come in. And so, again, we see that. Now, we see that even in the pulpit today. You see pastors twisting Scripture, saying this and saying that, you know. And I was listening to a pastor this morning preach. It was so funny. He's talking about faith healers. And I'd never heard this before. How many of in here has heard of Oral Roberts? I have. You know, I mean, when I was a kid, you know, he was, you know, claimed to be a faith healer. At the same time, when his wife broke her hip, you know, here he is calling out everybody. He says, why don't y'all pray for my wife? Instead of him being a healer, going and healing her, he's asking everybody for prayer. But anyway, this pastor was talking about that because back then, you know, back in the 50s and the early 60s, they were still doing it to some extent. When you got the message, you opened it up and it was like a record. You know, it was, a 45, it wasn't a 45, usually got them on a 33 and a half, those big, you know, albums. But in the middle of that, had that, you know, that little hole that it, you know, fit down. And this pastor was talking about Oral Roberts. He said, every time he said somebody would get one of those and open it up and had that little hole, it was healed over. When I thought about that, I said, man, anyway, so much for that. Twisting Scripture. The third temptation, let's look at this. All right, now, verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone. So as what we see here is this third temptation right here. Again, of Satan wants us to worship and honor him in order to achieve. Okay, so again, this third one right here is what he's doing is Satan does not want us to worship God alone. He wants us to worship him. And so he's in this. See, Satan right now, when he was cast out of heaven, again, the Bible said he is called the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians 2:2. You find it in Ephesians 6:12 over there. And so you got a couple of places, and you have it in some of the general epistles over there where it talks about of that. Now, how that Satan is in charge of all these things. In other words, he has all these little demons out there doing a lot of his dirty work. In other words, they just ever which way right there. And people say, I don't believe in demons. Well, I guess you don't believe the Bible. Because, see, the Word of God says they're demons. Or the Bible doesn't say there's demons. He says there's devils. There's no demon. You won't find one demon in the Bible. You'll find devil. Devil, the devil, and devils. Plural. And so, again, as what you see right here in the crutch of this whole thing was, he says, Satan had this whole realm that was given to him because man chose not, God had given it to man. He told Adam in the garden over there, he says, all this is yours. In other words, you keep it. In other words, the garden and all this stuff. In other words, he gave Adam a job, a responsibility. There to work. And he said, this is yours. Well, when mankind sinned, guess what? It plunged him into sin. He gave up the right to rule and everything like that. And it was given to Satan. That's what it just said right there. He said, all these things I have, they're mine to give. And he was telling the truth as far as the physical was concerned. Without realizing that one day, you know, from the face of the earth, God himself will take Satan and bind him for 1,000 years. He will let him loose, the Bible says in Revelation over there 19. We're talking about for a little season, he will let him out and he will go out and try to gather from all the ends of the earth this great humongous army called, and they'll meet at a place called Armageddon, and there's going to be one massive war. Well, guess what? God wins. I mean, he just thumps him real good. And after the millennial reign of Christ, it says that God will cast him literally into the lake of fire where he'll be forever and ever. He won't be tempting anybody to do anything anymore. And so here, but right now, he has that power. And again, devils are real. And things like that. Matter of fact, tomorrow I'm recording the thing on devils for the college. Last week I did it on Satan, but tomorrow I do it on the devils and, you know, things like that. And so, you know, I found out a whole lot of different things about, you know, these devils, that there's a whole lot of people thinking that's not so. But you see, Satan is what he tries to do today for the most part through, you know, everything is a lot up here in the mind. The Bible, you know, he can take a Christian who's saved and the person cannot be possessed by a devil, but I mean, he can wreak havoc upon him just like he did Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. It says, why has Satan filled thine heart to do this? So he has that power to do that. And so that's the way he attacks us, you know, as Christians today. And he can get our minds all messed up to where, you know, we don't think straight. And then we try to go to the doctor and he gives you some old pill and say, why don't, you know, that it try to, you know, messes up the mind even further. And I know that I'm not against pills. I take, you know, stuff like that. I'm just saying that instead of sometimes, I don't know the percentage, but I'd be willing to guess at least 50%, and that's low, of all mental institutions, if people, and I believe this, were to forgive something they got against somebody, that a whole bunch of those people would be healed. I think that they just, you know, and again, I'm not against doctor. I go to doctor. I got insurance and everything else. I'm not, you know, saying against that, and I'm not saying that there's certain, you know, things go wrong. It does. We're human beings. Thank God for, you know, the medicine and the doctors and stuff like that. We've come a long way from bloodletting and, you know, letting all the blood out of somebody. That's how George Washington died. You know, they were cutting him open like that, trying to get rid of the stuff out of him, and he bled to death, you know. But anyway, Satan, again, wants us to worship him. And see, is what the whole thing behind this of him wanting God to worship him is he was trying to get Christ to bypass the cross and the suffering. And he wanted, because see, that's what Christ came for. He came in this world, Isaiah 53 says. In other words, he came to die for sinners. And he came to die, and he had to go to the cross. Without the cross, guess what? No salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, the Bible says. The Bible says the precious blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1:18 talked about. Not the traditions of men, but it's the precious blood of Christ. And without that, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1-4, where how that Christ died for our sins according to the script, that he was buried. And that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen of his brethren, as many as 500 above that were still living at the same time that Christ walked the earth and died. So there's a whole lot of witnesses over there. This could be proved in a law of court. I don't care what anybody says that Christ did not rise from the dead. Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And so if a person, you know, doesn't believe the resurrection, again, he has no hope. Because if Christ did not rise again, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, we are all, you know, all men most miserable. We might as well just do like the world says, eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die. If, you know, if Christ didn't rise from the dead, that's what the Scripture says. And so we see is what Satan wanted him to do right there, again, is fall down and worship him. In other words, self-interest. That's how he tempted him. It's like this. Say that I have a job here, and it's a good job. It's taking care of all everything I need. But then all of a sudden, you know, I'm gonna have a good church. I got this, I got that. And then all of a sudden, this job over here, making twice the money, but yet there's no church, or this or that. In other words, sometimes what Satan does and tries to do is pull us apart and try to get us to put our self-interest above what he wants us to do. Now, if he wants us out there in the middle of nowhere, that's where we should be. Just like Philip, when he left down there, was preaching a great revival, and he went out in the desert and met this Ethiopian eunuch out there. God sent him there. The providence of God did that. And so, again, this is what Satan was trying to do. He says, you just need to bypass. You don't have to do all that suffering. Well, he had to do that. You say, why is that? Because the Bible said he would do that. 700 years before Christ was born, in the book of Isaiah, it was prophesied that he would suffer for the sins of the world. Psalms 22, 750 years before Christ was born, we see that, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Verse 1 of Psalms 22 says. And so, again, this is what Satan was trying to do, is to get him to bypass the cross there. Now, I'm just going to give you a couple of contrasts here, and I thought it was interesting as I was thinking about it, between Christ's temptation and Eve's temptation. Eve was tempted in a lovely garden. Christ was tempted in a wilderness or in the desert. Eve was tempted when she had everything her heart desired. Christ was tempted when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Eve was tempted once. Christ was tempted three times. Really more than that. Because the Bible says he's out there in Mark 1, 11 and 12, how that he was out there and he was with the wild beast. In other words, there's a lot of tigers and all those animals out there in those deserts out there. Again, these wild animals. But it says, you know, when, how that the angels came and ministered unto him. Again, Eve failed and Adam and drew the human race into condemnation. Christ was victorious and provided the human race with salvation. So you see some little contrast of what's going on between the temptations right there. You see, the devil quotes Scripture, but he misuses it. He changed it and took it out of context, again, misapplied it, like I was talking to you about in Psalms 91 over there. Let's talk about just a little bit about thoughts about temptation. Now get these right here. And these are important. The devil's temptation are always for the purpose of causing us to stumble and sin against God. Always. Another one. Temptation itself is not sin. Yielding to sin is the sin. You see, it's not a sin. It's like Martin Luther. I think he's the one that coined this phrase. In other words, he said, I can't keep it from flying over my head, but I can keep it from building a nest in my hair. Well, it's just like sin. In other words, when it comes down to sin, when you talk about it, it's not a sin to be tempted. Because, a thought, it's what you're going to do with that makes it, whether it's sin or not. Another one, the devil tempts us to satisfy lawful desires in an unlawful way. And again, the temptation to sin does not come from God, it comes from the devil and the indwelling sin nature that we still have. And here's the thing I want you to get, and then we'll talk about how to defeat Satan real quickly. This right here. Christ did not reason with the devil while he was being tempted. He said, "It is written." Then he says, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." I've did this several times, you know, over the years, and I remember when I first learned about how to defeat Satan, and a lot of times we don't do it simply because we don't want to do it because what is being offered is good. See, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, 23 and 24, we're about Moses right there. In other words, the pleasures of sin are pleasurable for a season. But here's the thing, we do not reason with Satan. And I can remember on several occasions, I'd be walking or doing something and just out loud, and don't even think about it. You know, and just say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." People just, what is this guy talking about? I mean, his thought or something would go on and all of a sudden, just, you know, without thinking, do that. But how do you defeat Satan? With the Word of God. That's what we have. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit along with the Word of God. Hold your place, or just let's just turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, real quickly. James 4, verse 4. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?" He's talking about spiritual adultery now. is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? The enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but He giveth more grace? Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he might flee from you. Is that what your Bible says? It says He will. So that is God promising us if we submit ourselves therefore to God. You say, how do I do that? I do what the Bible says. That is submitting to God. I resist Him. And it says He will flee from you. You don't sit there and try to reason in your mind and try to reason with the devil and, you know, and try to fight it on your own. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, 2 Corinthians 10:3 says. The Bible says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take unto you, you know, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so is what we see is we the Word of the Spirit. It's His Word, in other words. He's the one that wrote it. He's the one that lives within us. He's the one that teaches us what the Bible says. And so when we do what God says, God is obligated by His very nature, because He's true, to do what He said He's going to do. And a lot of times our flesh is weak. We want to give in. But it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And so is what we see here again, is what we'll do. In other words, whatever your the sin that doth so easily beset you, Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, whatever it is, you know what it is. Is what you need to do is this week is get your Bible and get before God and find out what God says about that particular weakness and do what He says to do. And when Satan hits you, in other words, you take that particular scripture and you memorize it, so that when Satan tempts you to doubt the Word of God or to do whatever, then is what you're doing is you say, it is written. And then you do what God says, and it says He will flee from you. You may have four or five different, six or seven sins. In other words, is what I've done is I took a list and did, I don't know how many it was. You know, 25 or 30 or whatever it was, I forget now. And I just memorized those scriptures. And every time, you know, when Satan tempted, the Holy Spirit had something in my mind to bring to my attention and says, this is what you need to do right here. And the Bible says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not tempt us above that we were able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. And so, in other words, we have a way of escape. It might be a slim second where what Joseph did when Potiphar's wife comes and says, hey, big boy, why don't you come and do this with me? He says, you know, how can I do this great sin and sin against God? And then that very last time when he went in, and it says she grabbed him and he left his cloak there. The Bible says, over in 2 Timothy over there, it says, flee youthful lust. I mean, you scram, you get out of there if it's something, I mean, because that thing is so powerful that it will grab you and strangle you and you'll be in the clutches of Satan. And I guarantee you there's certain sins that are that powerful. And if we do not get a handle on them, they're going to destroy us. They will put you out of the will of God, and you'll be a miserable person to the day that you get it right or to the day that you die. Why? Because you disobeyed God and you refused to get it right. And so today, I urge you, you know, get along with God and ask Him and show you a scripture to whatever your temptation, your weakness is, and you memorize that thing and you meditate on it and you just chew that thing up. Bible says, Jeremiah, and I'll close with this, 15:16, thy words were found, and I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. And so I guarantee you, if we chew the word of God, and we eat the word of God, and we meditate on the word of God, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might sin against God. Is that what it said? No. Might not sin. And so we have the word of God's word on it. And if we will take the word of God, I guarantee you, your life will change. It did for me. The meditation, when I learned to meditate and do what God said, it changed my whole outlook. And the thing that really changed it, when, like what the pastor preached for so many years, I learned, you know, a while ago, is who I am in Christ. And I guarantee you know that inside and out. Satan, in other words, and you believe that, the devil will try. But the Bible says in Matthew 7, the house that's built upon a rock, it stands when the storms hit. You say, why is that? Because it's bound by the word of God. And we too can stand if we obey God. Father, bless the word of God. Lord, thy word is very powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy words will not pass away. Father, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that the grass withers and the flower fadeth thereof, but the words of our God shall not pass away. Father, I pray that you'd help us to become students of the word of God, believing what you say and doing it. And help us, Lord, to get into your word, to memorize it, and to do what it says. Ask us in Jesus' name. Amen.